Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. And today, my very special guest is Arnie Levine. He is a longtime local realtor here in East County, and now he is a candidate running for mayor of El Cajon. Arnie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. It's great to be here. So we're radio, podcasting, and video?
Everything. Yeah, exactly. It'll be on our site, which gets lots of viewers, and also on the radio.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Arnie, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, how long you've lived and worked in El Cajon, and why you're running for mayor?
Okay. So I've been a Californian since 1980, and I moved from Orange County to San Diego, which has more room to breathe here. And San Diego is, it just has a lot of tourist type of activity. So on the weekends, we could, you know, basically just enjoy ourselves by going maybe 30-minute drive. So I had bought a home in El Cajon since 92. And I've been in East County most of that time. I rented it out for a little bit and then lived in Mount Helix in La Mesa area, which is beautiful too. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back in here and I've been part of the community active for the last 11 years.
Very good. So sounds like almost 20 years in the El Cajon area there.
Yes.
Been around, you know the area. What do you consider to be the most important issues facing El Cajon, and what would be your approach?
So the biggest issue, like most of the residents and citizens of El Cajon, is we come home from work and then we have to occasionally go shop and get groceries, go to the pharmacy, maybe go to fast food. So for the past, I'd say 10 years or 11 years that I've been living here, it's slowly progressed that all of a sudden we had greeters at the stores that we would shop at. And of course, there were homeless people that were dealing with financial difficulties. I noticed some of it was mental health difficulties. And so a variety of people, when I would go shopping, would be in the parking lots. And I've been here, actually, remember when they built downtown up and they put the new city building, and it looked like downtown and El Cajon was starting to grow when they put the park in and everything. And then,
yeah, a lot of revitalization going on.
Yeah, so it was exciting because I volunteered for the Super Bowl because I knew when we were rebuilding Qualcomm to make it qualify for Super Bowl, volunteering for that would bring a lot of tourists into downtown. And after that, then the conference center was there, and all of downtown transformed, and I was hoping that would happen with El Cajon, which we were on the way at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, homelessness, as you know, is a big issue, not only locally, but nationally. It's been cited by residents as one of the most serious concerns when you poll people in the region or talk to people across El Cajon. While El Cajon has done more than the neighboring East County cities to help the homeless, at least, you know, sending some funding to shelters, having some shelters in El Cajon, the homeless population continues to grow. What more, Arnie, would you do that the city of El Cajon has not already done to help get some of these folks off the streets and hopefully get them help?
So being a real estate broker and an agent for almost 34 years, always dealing with housing, has noticed, like everyone else, the housing prices have increased, which is good for those that are getting equity on their homes, but also along with that is the rents have been going up. So that has been part of a long process of prosperity, but at the same time, for the people that pay rent, unless they were able to buy homes or condominiums, then they didn't have that security that they needed. So that's obviously why a lot of people buy homes. So in the rental part, I have worked in property management recently, and part of that was to be able to understand what was going on with the housing problem. So I got the opportunity to work in affordable housing downtown San Diego on some projects that were new projects. And financially, the career for property management in affordable housing is not as lucrative, but for me, it was an opportunity to really start seeing how is this new process about building a new construction in different areas for people that are transitioning from homelessness from the street, or people that are on Social Security and fixed income that can't afford their current rental prices. So when I was meeting people that were applying for the affordable housing, I wasn't used to it compared to commercial properties where people, well, I'm paying rent. It's like, what do you got? And it's that kind of thing. This was, thank you so much for helping me. And I would look at resources if that wasn't a fit for them, because the San Diego Housing Commission is available. Each city has its own website for affordable housing. That was a doorway. But what really got me, because I wasn't looking at running it for mayor. I was thinking about it 4 years ago and hoping this would be resolved by now. But what I saw in the last 4 years, because I didn't run 4 years ago, was that it's getting worse and it's an epidemic. And the last count that I was looking at the numbers showed about 800.
Yeah, so it sounds like you see the homelessness problem is stemming in very large part from the affordable housing crisis. San Diego, we should note, as of a couple months ago, has the highest housing prices in the nation for for sale housing. And of course, that only drives up the price of rent more and more and more and more. And right. Arnie is a real estate professional who's really studied this. And as you say, went down there to San Diego and took a look at what's going on, you know, with the rentals and everything. What ideas do you have for El Cajon to address the affordable housing crisis specifically? And I would include, you know, both the for sale and the rental market, if you want to comment on that.
So if we just look at the affordable housing, some of the ideas that are being worked on is to do the affordable housing. And it's basically they offer tax credit towards the developer and the owner. And then this way they get a tax credit that helps them to offset the rent to being affordable, lower rents. So that looked like a good solution. But when I was on some of the, and I actually worked at different locations because I was being attempt to work in different projects. And the luxury about that was I got to experience old projects that were down in the Chula Vista area to areas downtown. Well, real estate downtown is very expensive. So we're throwing up these very expensive per unit projects there. And then we're taking funded money from state federal programs. And then we're using it there in the most expensive areas instead of building in other communities that's more rural where the home prices are cheaper. And then the other part of that, the dovetail is when they're transitioning off the streets, they have mental health issues, they have physical mm-hmm. issues, and also they need help to be able to not just get housing, but be able to transition to being productive human beings, except for those with disabilities. And those people have limited job potential, but they do want to be self-sufficient.
El Cajon has... they do have the East County Transitional Living Center, which is the major shelter. The city funds a portion of it that's non-denominational, but that portion only provides short-term housing for folks to get off the streets for maybe a month or so. If people want longer-term help there, such as job training, you know, those things they really need to be self-sustaining, that particular program has a religious component to it, the evangelical Christian component. Do you think that it's time for El Cajon to have a similar kind of a transitional program to help those coming off the streets, but that is non-denominational, that's open to people of every faith or no faith?
So my understanding for being able to serve the community is unconditional love. And that comes from my Jewish heritage and practicing, and that transforms into all the other religions, which is based on the God of Abraham. Mm-hmm. That includes our brother, my cousins, bloodline is my cousins are the Muslims, the Chaldeans, my Christian brother and sisters. It's based on the same thing that the same commandments that's written in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And in the Torah, the First Testament, is to love each other as you love yourself. They are both our blood cousins. We are related with Semites. And the Christian Chaldeans, of course, is Semites. And then the Muslim community is Semites.
Public health has been a key issue during the COVID-19 pandemic. While most of the restrictions have been lifted now, as most people are vaccinated, Mayor Bill Wells drew some controversy for defying county public health orders and announcing that he was refusing to enforce restrictions on businesses. He also spoke at one or more large maskless religious rallies outside in El Cajon at a time when vaccines weren't available. Do you agree or disagree with those actions? Should a mayor set an example for the public to follow public health guidelines, or should a mayor follow his own conscience or his own faith?
That's a very good question. So yours truly is a 22-year cancer survivor, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Congratulations for surviving that.
Thank you. And I'd rather not call us survivors. I'd rather call us as warriors. What? Now, in order for us to be a warrior, we have to have the best defense. I love football. I love the Chargers. Come on back, Chargers. So the best defense is the best defense is an offense. Yeah. So for those that have compromised immune systems and health systems that could easily be affected by something like a virus in general, it's a battle to recover from that. And then those that have compromised immune systems, actually it could jeopardize their health and then it could cost them their life, which we have seen in a lot of the nursing homes. And there is a lot of drama that...
Yeah, my mother lost her life in part to COVID in a nursing home during all of this.
So. I'm very sorry to hear that. And the thing that gets my heart, this is why I'm running. So when people listen to this, I'm doing this from my heart. My hand is not by my wallet or pocketbook. I want to be able to make a difference with the time that I've been gifted with. So I am past the due date, but my due date, it's been extended to 120 years, according to the Bible. So I'm taking that version. And in order to do that, we have to use science and we have to follow medicine. And if we observe those policies, then we as a community will last long. I'm going to just say one little rabbis have a great, I'm not a rabbi, but the rabbis tell us these little stories. If there are four of us in a boat, and you're in a rowboat, and you and your significant other is at one side, and I'm on the other side, and then I feel like drilling a hole on my side of the boat. Do you think that's going to work out for the four of us?
Yeah, no, we all sink.
So if I have the free will to drill the hole on my side, which I should have the free will, then it becomes basically that's being able to look at, we are working this together. And for us to be able to get past an epidemic, we have to deal with the things that we know, which is herd immunity. And in hospitals, I just talked to the doctors and nurses. So I had my appointment the other day and I said, you know, you guys wear a mask all day. And I understand sometimes you have diseases that come up, but it's very difficult to wear a mask. I know it is. It is hard to do it. But sometimes, like in football, you've got to take the hit and you've got to make a sacrifice for short suffering. So in the long run, we could have a healthy community. That was a long answer, but I needed to be more detailed.
Well, I thank you for that. I think it's a very important issue. So we appreciate you sharing your views on that one. Another issue in El Cajon right now is that the mayor and the city council members all voted unanimously to put a measure on the ballot that will allow voters to decide whether or not to raise the city's sales tax from a half cent to 1 cent per dollar. The city says it's needed to fund keeping more police that they recently hired, and also to address homelessness, among other things. Arnie, do you support or oppose the sales tax increase, and why?
Funny you should say that. So I moved out of El Cajon when I bought my townhome, lived in Mount Helix in La Mesa, and that's a very good town. And I know some of the politicians there, which I absolutely
my hometown.
Right, yours too. And when I came back to El Cajon, next thing I know is there's this city sales tax. And I'm going, what? So should I be shopping back in La Mesa or should I be shopping in El Cajon? Because the difference on a sales tax, whether it's 0.25% or 0.5% or 1%. Now we're talking about inflation when you're watching the you know, the gas signs and you see inflation prices go up by the pennies. Mm-hmm. Well, those pennies affect our businesses. I just talked to the place where I got my haircut done. You know, a business owner, when they do these salons, they get by for good prices. But when they raise those, I asked them, what did you think about the sales tax? They said, what sales tax? They do now. Whoops. The one that's going to be on the ballot. And of course, you know what their answer was? It's like they're getting by. They had to get by with COVID. And now to have a tax that is a city tax. Now, the sales tax has one job. But the city tax, not all cities have city tax. Now I'm starting to sound like a Republican. Because the truth is I go for the solution.
Yeah.
And I am not interested if it is a way of getting more attention or getting more agreement. I'm interested in what's going to be better fit for the community. So the answer to your question is, we could do fiscal responsibility because I like the idea that that the mayor wants to work on this problem. But the question, I've seen the new projects, we're throwing money at these very expensive units. But if we're going to just grab money out of our own community, then the businesses are going to hurt from it. And our goal really should be is getting money where there's funding waiting for us. And guess where that is? Okay, you can answer.
It may be state and federal grants. Well, no, I was just going to ask, I was going to say the devil's advocate question is for folks that say, well, maybe we don't need a sales tax, would be then how would you grow the economy and, you know, whether it's attracting new businesses or helping existing businesses emerge from the pandemic, you know, to make sure that there are the revenues that the city seems to think it needs for addressing things like homelessness and putting more officers on the street to deal with the crime problem.
So part of my education was, I like to call them peace officers, because back in the 70s, that's what we used to call them. And I observed a rookie. This is right on Second Avenue or Hammershore. And a rookie, a seasoned peace officer, and then a sergeant was there. And I noticed how, and I was amazed. I was just wanting to introduce myself. You know, I'm going to get down to City Hall and say hello. And walk into the police station and introduce myself and say hello. But I wanted to talk to them why they were on the street. And I noticed they were testing this gentleman for, DUI. I could tell he was nervous. And then I watched the process. It took him almost 30 minutes, but they tested him thoroughly until they had to arrest him because he violated the tests and he drove there. And then when they left, I acknowledged the sergeant and the rookies, that they did a great job. I was amazed with the patience and that, you know, how patient they were. And then I introduced myself, and I know they need support, but to take that kind of time out to do a good job, there's more that's needed. Because the other peace officer I met downtown San Diego at affordable housing for a break-in that happened in that apartment building, he told me that he goes, this is a challenging job. You should research the author for San Francisco, which talks about a lot of the homeless problems in many cities like San Francisco. And you can find that on YouTube and see him talking about his book. And he researched 3 years on that. And so I asked that gentleman, the peace officer, and I said, would you agree that social workers are needed? Because if there was someone that was outside the unit and they were talking to someone that wasn't there, so they had symptoms of schizophrenia. And normally what the people in charge were going to do was call the police and then deal with that person. This is affordable housing. They should have more support, social worker on site, if we're going to have a community of people that need help and help them get through their mental health and their physical health. So that takes not just money, that also takes a plan with good intention. The money is sitting there. So where is the money? Show me the money, right? You remember that?
Good question.
Show me them. So Governor Newsom, I'm talking to you. You've got a big surplus. I'm doing my numbers. I'm starting to research.
Yeah, they do.
My engineering background and economics background is kicking in, plus being a realtor all these years. And there is close to $90 billion in surplus. Everybody knows about that, but we're not talking about using that for the homeless as much as we should. We are. and then is federal funding. So I don't think we should be draining a community that's already dealing with an epidemic crisis of 800 people, and a community that the commercial part of the community where store owners have to have their own security in order to escort our friends to somewhere else. And where are they going to go? We have to have transitional process. It's a complicated answer, but the solutions are simple.
Yeah, it's a complex problem, certainly. Another crime-related issue is that the city has faced calls, conversely, from some people who want to see more peace officers on the street. Others want to defund police, or some want to divert funds to alternative ways to respond to calls about things like mental illness and homelessness, such as having maybe social workers or psychiatric workers respond to certain calls. So what, Arnie, would your priorities be when it comes to policing and crime?
So that's a powerful question. Police officers are there for high escalated tactical defense. You're using my terminology. You could steal it because that's what they are. They are peace officers.
Yeah.
And look, I'm running for mayor. People ask me, with your health issues, why don't you just enjoy life, earn a living. I just got married, enjoy that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm running towards this. I'm running towards this project because I've heard so many stories where people need help. And our peace officers have more of a challenge when they're dealing with people that are self-medicating. The reason why addicts are there is because they have trauma issues. And unfortunately, I saw this start in the late 70s. And then in the 80s, all of a sudden, across the board, the president at that time had cut funding for mental health programs for Medicare and all these programs that are there. My roommate, who is a sociology major, he goes, watch what happens next. And within a few years, the first time I've seen, this is in New York, upstate New York. And then in that area, to see homeless starting to show up there. And then when I would go to New York City, I was seeing more homeless. And now we see it here. But those programs, we need to retro-engineer, bring back the programs that work. And then, unfortunately, the solution is to get social workers. I just heard this on PBS. There is a shortage crisis of social workers.
Really?
And the peace officers need some training so that enables them to de-escalate hostile situations. But you can't send a social worker alone because sometimes they become violent, like in the institutions. They're well-trained orderlies that help with the doctors to be able to basically de-escalate the situation.
Right.
And that support system is not about just money and funding. That is about working a smart new city, and I'm going to call our city El Cajon, which is a very old city. And do you know what El Cajon means, translated from Spanish?
The box.
Oh, man, you did.
The box, like the valley, yeah. Box. And it's over... You're right. It is an old city. It had its centennial celebration back in 2013. So
what I'm looking at doing is putting a new package on it inside out. So it's going to be new on the inside, new on the outside. I wish I didn't have to run for mayor, but now that I am doing it, I'm enjoying it because to be part of the solution, to hear what people want. And you know, I prayed for the current mayor, Bill Wells, to be able to solve it. But if the job doesn't get done, then he either got the results or the reasons why not. Now I'm after the results.
Okay. Speaking of trauma, El Cajon is home to a high number of immigrants and refugees from around the world, many of whom have gone through extreme trauma, such as those who escaped war-torn Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And yet, some of them are facing even more trauma here from trying to find jobs and housing for often very large families, lots of children, sometimes domestic violence, such as the tragic death this week of a mother of nine. She was a Syrian refugee, according to the police, killed by her husband. Arnie, do you have any thoughts on what more might be done to help these new El Cajon residents adapt to life in America and have less difficult of a time here.
So that story, when you told it to me, is another story that I think at this point my heart is rebuilding itself, because the idea is terrible. If we don't listen to what's happening, then we won't be able to help other people. And I know that our community is based on a Judeo-Christian Muslim community, is based on the same creator that wants the same rule goes to all of us, to love each other as we love ourselves. And the only way to do that is to be able to do it by not talking the talk. You've got to walk the talk. You've got to make things happen. So we could do that as a community. But when people have stresses and they're dealing with financial stresses, when they're going through a health crisis and they don't know where the next penny is going to come from, and then they don't know how to feed the children, and they're new refugees that are coming in our community, then those people, like the rest of us that's already here and go into that crisis mode. And I have a lot of friends that are Afghani friends, that are Muslim friends, that are Chaldeans that I talk to, and they'll tell me the stories, young kids, 24, 25, that they told me where they came from during Iraq. That's when we were working together on some projects, and they were coming out of the battle zone in order to come here where they could finally walk down the street and not have to worry about bullets coming.
Yeah, exactly. And in the case of the Afghans, a lot of them were helping our own military as translators and things. So, yeah.
That's right. And that's a whole story in itself, as you know.
It is. Arnie, anti-Semitism has been on the rise, unfortunately, across the United States. We've seen it locally, even at a church in El Cajon that was vandalized with anti-Semitic graffiti not very long ago. El Cajon is a city, as we've mentioned, of people with many faiths, including Christians, Jews, Muslims, and others. I think to his credit, the mayor did stand up at a rally against anti-Semitism, as did some leaders of other faiths too. But what more can or should be done to help people of every faith feel free from persecution or harassment in the city?
Okay, you do realize I'm running for mayor. I'm not ready for president yet.
I know. The city of El Cajon, I guess.
But we need to. It is a great leader question. And that's one of the things that I know with our current president and vice president. I wrote to her, I told her I'm running. So if that gets passed down, I hope so. Because what I liked about, and I watched President Biden through his career. When I was in college, I worked in the media department, doing like what you did. I was a roving reporter with a camera, and I had to record the Watergate tapes. And I saw how he was very bipartisan with a very tough situation with the President Nixon being under the investigation. But it was that commitment that I saw in him that really showed that he is a great leader. Now, if he makes mistakes and he doesn't do things perfectly, that's one part of it. Do you know I had to take an oath in order to run for mayor? And I was stunned. The city clerk said, raise your hand. And then will you defend the Constitution of the United States? I don't remember the whole oath, but the words I remember for each area. And it was an honor to be able to do that. I said, yeah, but I'm not elected yet. And they said, it's part of our process because it's time to start thinking like a mayor. And when I drive through El Cajon now, after that oath, like Moses did at Mount Sinai, the 100,000 citizens of El Cajon are my people. The 800,000 on the streets are my people. They're our people. And my goal, and a lot of my friends are Republicans, and a lot of my friends that are Republicans are donating to the campaign, and they're supporting me, and they're supporting me because I'm after a solution for all of us.
Yeah. I was going to ask who your major supporters are. I know that you've told me you're a Democrat. Are you seeking endorsement of the Democratic Party, or do you have some endorsements of people on both sides of the aisle here?
So the goal is to get endorsed by everybody. So tonight I will be endorsed by the East County Caucus, and then
that's the East County Democratic Caucus. We should say we're taping the radio show. That's tonight, as of whatever this is, Wednesday, when we're taping this interview.
Thank you. And then so then I'll be nominated in the Central Committee, Democratic Committee, which mm-hmm. will be the next meeting that we'll have. And that will be the final part. But I'm able to announce as of today that I am the official nominee Democratic candidate. And then
congratulations.
And then for me to be even on the ballot, I had to get signatures, and half my signatures were Republican brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is the party split now? As I recall, it's fairly even between Democrats and Republicans in El Cajon, with even more that are declined to state and don't belong to any party anymore. So, which makes it even more important, I think, for people to be able to reach, you know, people in both parties, people in no party at all.
I was really surprised. I looked at the numbers. So in the last election, Bill Wells got 60% of the vote. And I thought it was 100,000 people. Okay, it got to be at least 25 to 50,000 people out there voting. And when I looked at the report the other day, remember, I'm a new to politics.
A lot to learn as a first-time candidate.
But you know, facts really tell us what happened. Mm-hmm. So it was something like, you know, close to 6,000 votes that went towards Bill Wells, the incumbent, and then the opposing was he got 60%, and the opposing was got a little bit split with an independent, and then so. Anyway, that was the victory. But the interesting number was the people that didn't vote. Close to 42, 45,000 people.
You know, it's interesting because the last election, both candidates were Republicans. So maybe people just felt sort of disenfranchised, or that there was nobody that reflected their views. Who knows? Or they were just apathetic and didn't care and didn't show up. We don't know. Yeah, it is interesting. But you're right. There's a lot of untapped voters out there, people who didn't vote at all, maybe. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I wanted to clarify one thing, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the most part, most realtors and brokers support mm-hmm. the Republican Party. We support mm-hmm. businesses.
Sure.
So I'm a centralist. I'm what works. And talking about not cutting the taxes is part of a Republican ideology, which I agree in. So, and it's really not Republican or Democrat. There's only one party. That's the U.S. party. That is us. Those two parties, when they work together, they create, just like in an orchestra, beautiful music. But you get a violin that's out of tune playing against the keyboard player, and then he's throwing the book at him saying, come on, get in tune. So we have to work in harmony. Of course, being an alleged musician, I'll bring that in.
But that's what you share in common with the current mayor, by the way, who plays piano and saxophone. And there's a good question. He does a benefit concert for the homeless with himself and his other musical friends every year. Are you going to continue that tradition? If you're the mayor, are you going to do a concert for the homeless?
Okay, let me put it this way. I don't practice enough. And this is cutting into running for mayors. Could cut into my practice, but I'm going to do fundraising events. I love the idea that he loves music, so we're on the same page with that. But I do have to admit, he's probably a much more accomplished musician than me. And I would love to hear him play or play with him. So the part with the music, though, is for me, it's a gift that I'm still able to play because my coordination skills from the therapies I had interferes with. And that's why I started playing guitar.
Yeah, the cancer treatments,
To be able to do that. But I'm able to play from my heart. So I have the gift of still, my audiences still enjoy me playing. So, and I have friends. My friend's the horn player for Tower of Power, one of the famous bands during the 70s. He's on tour right now. So I'm going to see. I'm not making any commitments. I'm going to just
maybe they'll wind up here, huh?
I'll just put the word out there, see if I can get them to come out.
On a related question on arts and culture in El Cajon, El Cajon's city council recently led the efforts to reopen the East County Performing Arts Center, which is now called the Magnolia Theater. It was closed for more than a decade, and now it's managed by Live Nation. It got reopened, kind of bad timing, just before the pandemic, which, of course, impacted theaters and shut them down again for a while. So I do want to ask, after all that struggle to get it reopened, Arnie, would you make it a priority to commit to keep the public theater open?
Okay, so you got the heart of myself. My buddy said, don't you don't have to mention you're from New York, but the thing is, growing up in New York is Carnegie Hall and Broadway and the museums. It changed my life. The Whitney Museum, when I studied art in high school and art history, and I went to Rome, I had this sore neck for 5 hours looking at the Sistine Chapel, 5 hours to see all that beauty. But that art coming from New York, because New York's like one of the power centers of the world with so much art, that if you could make it there, you can make it anywhere. That art translates into creating harmony, like the butterfly effect. So it's able to create a sense of consciousness and awareness that will bring us together as a world community down to the United States, down to the community within the city. So I 100% will support the arts. And that's a promise that I will do whatever I can to have that. Wouldn't it be nice to have, like we have downtown, to have the orchestra playing here?
Used to. I can remember it. I'm dating myself now. But yes, they did. They used to have the San Diego Symphony come out and play at ECPAC, the Performing Arts Center in El Cajon.
I just saw YouTube. My wife's name is Maria. I was driving towards the American border from the hills above Tijuana, looking at all the lights. Mm-hmm. And then on the radio comes the Philharmonic Orchestra with the love song, Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story, Maria. And then I got her on the phone, and I'm not an opera singer, but I was crying and singing that love song to her, and it was beautiful. If we, the opportunity to be part of that, to contribute. And what I want to do is I want to invite other people to participate in the community. You're talking about things that would make El Cajon the new city. Instead of New York City, it would be the new El Cajon city.
I like that. Yeah. There you go. Arnie, we are almost out of time today, but what else would you like our audience to know about you and your candidacy for El Cajon? And for the listeners out there, if anyone tuned in late, we are speaking with Arnie Levine, who is a real estate agent, and he is running to be mayor of El Cajon.
So first thing is show me the money. So I have some big donors that are ready to step up. Our treasurer is being put in place this week to be able to take donations. Arnie for mayor, Arnie number four, mayor.com. Okay. And to be able to support us with volunteers. And just support us, the most important thing is by show up to voting. We got 42,000 people that if they actually walk in and they put that card in place, there's good, because I was asked, well, politicians, they talk, but they don't do the doing once they're elected. I'm making promises. You put that card in, I get elected. Well, then I have a new job besides a campaign. Then I have a job as mayor to making sure it happens. And the thing is to have a staff that is empowered and has accountability. And I believe in transparency to be able to do that. And I think we can do it. And I love your ideas about art, because that's like the homeless is at the top of the list, but art is what heals us. It's what got me to be out here to play again and be able to have the gift of playing in public. And the fundraising event, I'll be a guest appearance in there with my other friends.
Yeah, it is. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. And we will be posting the podcast. For those of you that may have tuned in a little late, the whole thing will be on eastcountymagazine.org in our politics section.
Thanks. Thank you, Miriam. Thank you very much.